In one sense, baptism in the Lord's Supper are the simplest of things. What could be more simple than applying water to someone in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, or eating bread and wine in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet, down through church history, and even more recently in the Protestant Reformation, more ink was spilled and more arguments were had over the nature of the sacraments than any other topic. And what has caused a lot of the confusion really relates not directly to baptism or the Lord's Supper, but really to the nature of this world in which we live and the way in which God sustains life within us. When we look in Genesis, we find that when God formed Adam of the dust, it says that he breathed the breath of life in them. So God gave life directly, and this is something that Scripture teaches throughout. Only God has life in himself. God is life. And so if anything is to live, God must give life. God gave life to Adam directly, and that's to make a point. All of our life, even the life of unbelievers, is continually given and sustained by God, by his Holy Spirit. After that, God has Adam and Eve eat of the tree of life, and they are to freely eat of the tree of life. Now God is giving them life just as much as he was before. They're just as dependent upon the God of life as they were before, but now he is giving it immediately through food, and through a special food, you might say a sacramental food, to make the point of where life comes from, and that life consists in communion with the living God who is life and who gives life. And this is also to make another point, which is that meals are really about koinonia. That's what they're really about, because the tree of life is really about fellowship, koinonia, relationship with the living God. And from that relationship, from that koinonia, comes continual life. We might say eternal life, that union between Adam and Eve and the God who had made them. And so it is supposed to continue into human life. As Adam and Eve had children and they have a family, then you have the family meal. And what is the family meal really about? It's not really about calorie intake. It's really about the koinonia of the family that gives life to the family, because the relationships are proper there based on the fundamental relationship with God. But the point should never be lost that even though God is giving them life immediately through food, the food does not have life in itself. As one theologian said, you cannot get life from non-living things. And you think about it, everything we eat is dead. If we have vegetables, if we have fruit, it's not living. One of the main aspects of paganism down through the centuries has been trying to get life from other things, get the life of other things into the person, and that's why they will often eat the blood of meat, try to eat animals live. Of course, you can't really do that because they're dead as you're eating, but they try to come as close as they possibly can to somehow get the life and the strength of the animal or the other person inside themselves. Of course, this is an impossibility because it's the God of life who gives life. There is no life apart from God who is life. And so when we remember this, it tends to straighten out the problems that we have with this very simple thing called baptism and this very simple thing called the Lord's Supper. When you look at the debates about the Lord's Supper back before the Reformation and at the time of the Reformation, there's a sense that God is doing something with this bread and this wine. And yet, because of some wrong assumptions, the assumption being that if anything is going to communicate something, what it communicates has to be contained within the thing taken. Okay? So what that would mean is if Christ is somehow in or with the Lord's Supper, then he has to be metaphysically contained somehow within the bread and the wine. Now, you can see how that would lead very naturally to the Roman Catholic doctrine of transubstantiation, which says that during the Mass, a miracle is performed. And while the bread and the wine do not physically change into the body and blood of Christ, they metaphysically change. The metaphysics underneath changes into the body and the blood of Christ. Now, you can understand why this would be a tempting direction to go, because they're trying to preserve what seems to be the scriptural teaching from Jesus himself that he will be with us in this simple supper. And they're trying to figure out how that is. And they're going, well, if he's going to be with us, he has to be in it. And so the metaphysics underneath have to change somehow. Well, of course, that creates a number of problems. One of the problems being that the Bible teaches us that Jesus is not only fully God, but he's also fully man. He's 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And one of the things about being 100% man is it means you have a body that's in one place. You don't have a body that's ubiquitous all over the world at the same time. If you've got that, you're not a man. Well, then that does all kinds of crazy things to salvation, because Jesus can only save that which he is. He can only save the whole man if he is the whole man. And so it creates a lot of problems. But then just as problematic is the correction to that kind of thinking, which is just the rational remembrance kind of a doctrine that denies and say, no miracle happens here. Jesus is not metaphysically in this bread. His blood is not metaphysically in this wine. And therefore, they just have to go to the other end of the spectrum and say, therefore, it's just a concept. It's just a reminder. It's just a raw symbol. And that's all it is. You see the bread, you eat the bread, it reminds you of Jesus. It reminds you of his body being given on the cross. You see the blood, you drink, you see the wine, you drink the wine, it reminds you of his shed blood, and that's all there is to it. Well, that has some problems too, because you don't really need this bread and this wine to be reminded about Jesus. You could just remember that yourself. You could read a Bible verse of two, and that would even help you remember. And you don't really have to be in church to do it. You don't really have to be gathered with God's people to remember the concept of Jesus giving his body and his blood for our salvation. The problem with these two, this kind of fork in the road and this idea that you have to go one way or the other, is they both agree on the fundamental false assumption that if we are to receive anything, if Jesus is in any way with this, he has to be in it, metaphysically. Well, then how did God give life to start with? How did God give life before the fall? How did he give life through the tree of life? How did he give life through food? Immediately, it's not in it. The life is not in it. God gives the life through it. And there's a big difference. And we see how he specially constitutes these meals, his spirit working in and through the koinonia of the family, the union, to give life. This is the message that God is sending from the very beginning. So when Jesus is teaching the disciples after his resurrection how he's going to keep his promise to be with them always, and to for the one who loves him and keeps his commandments, that he's going to come to them and make his abode with them, and the Father is going to come and make his home with him. How is he going to keep these promises when he's going away? Being fully man, his body's going up. His body's not here. His body's up there in heaven on the throne of God, ruling all things. How is he going to keep these promises? Jesus teaches that. He teaches it to the two disciples on the road from to Emmaus. We looked at this recently. He prevents them from recognizing them because he wants to make a point. He's not just having fun with his new magical powers. He's making a point. What's the point he's making? This is how I'm going to be with you. How does he do it? Through the preaching of the word. He takes them to the scriptures, and then when he gets to their home, he comes in. What does he do? He breaks bread. Now, was Jesus in the ink of the scriptures? Was Jesus in the sound waves that came from his mouth and registered on their eardrums so they could hear the words and hear him preach? Was he in any of that metaphysically? No, he wasn't. So how was he with them? By the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, through the preached word, he is with them. Was Jesus, when he took that bread and broke it and thanked God for it, was he in the bread? No. Was he with them? Yes. How? He's with them by the Spirit, and he's teaching them. By the Holy Spirit, by the helper I give, the same means by which God has always given life to everybody, whether they thank him or not, whether they believe in him or not, the same way Jesus, by the Spirit, will be with us in the priest's word, in this bread, and in this wine, not metaphysically, but by the Spirit here, truly giving life to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.